Well, one photographer from a national magazine, he was assigned to get photos of a huge forest fire. And so they arranged for him to have a plane where he could fly out over the forest fire and get pictures. They said, the plane will be waiting for you at the airport when you get there. And so he gets to the airport, and sure enough, he sees a plane out on the runway warming up. And so he runs and he jumps into that plane, and he tells the pilot, he says, let's go. And so they take off and they go up, and he says, I want you to head over to the fire, and I want you to make several low passes so that I can get some good pictures. And the guy looked at him, and the pilot looked at him, and he said, pictures? What do you mean? He said, I'm a photographer. That's what photographers do. The guy said, you mean you're not the instructor? Now that's trouble, right? I mean, that's trouble. You ever find yourself in trouble? We all do. It happens to all of us. It's one of those things that every person experiences. We all go through trouble. You can count on it. If you're not in it right now, well, either you just came out of it or you're going to be heading into it soon. So, you know, if you're not in it, well, most of us have some trouble right now. This has been the craziest time, and there's plenty of trouble to go around. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, there has been trouble in this world, and it's with us until the Lord comes back. I've yet to meet anybody that could say they had a trouble-free life. I mean, we might go through some periods like that, but like I said, they don't last. So, comic strip Peanuts, Charlie Brown says to Lucy, he says, I've got so many troubles. If anything else happens, it'll be 2 weeks before I can worry about it. So, I don't know where you're at. You may be 2 months out, but I managed to find things to be troubled about nonetheless, and it's amazing how life can throw so many things at you where just sometimes it's not one thing, it just seems like it's everything. That's why we say when it rains, it pours, right? We got all these little sayings. But we can just be serving God and, you know, doing what we're supposed to do, living our life, and then all of a sudden, trouble comes in all shapes and sizes. Because we live in a fallen world. Sometimes trouble comes because people bring trouble. Some people, their middle name ought to be trouble. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like whenever they're around, there's going to be trouble. Sometimes we bring trouble on ourselves. Well, that's right. Nobody's saying amen to that one, but it's very, very true. And sometimes trouble comes because we have an adversary, the devil. And he is always opposing us. He's always working against us. And a lot of Christians, you know, they don't believe in the devil. So, you know, when trouble comes, when tragedy comes, and all kinds of problems come their way, they just think it's God when their adversary, the devil. I guess some Christians haven't read the Bible. The Bible says you have an adversary, the devil. And they blame God instead of giving credit where credit's due. But you can count on trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you're gonna have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You know what? We need to be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world, and so can we. 1 John 5 tells us, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We can overcome the world too. Overcome the world and overcome our trouble. Amen. Psalm 38, here's some trouble. David was sick, and it troubled him. Been a lot of sickness this year. And it doesn't have to be the coronavirus. There's plenty of sick to go around. People deal with all kinds of sick. We don't think much about the great giant slayer getting sick. You know, the man who they said killed his tens of thousands, the great warrior. We don't think much about him getting sick, but he was sick when he wrote this psalm. And he said in verse 6 of Psalm 38, verse 6, he says, I'm troubled and bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. He got sick. In Psalm 103, he said, he heals all your diseases. David knew who the healer was. And it troubled him that he was sick. And you know what? I think that happens to a lot of people of faith who are walking with God and trusting God, not expecting to ever get sick, walking in divine health, and all of a sudden you get sick and it troubles you. All kinds of trouble, all kinds of things in life that happen to us, things that we don't understand. Illness is especially troubling when you don't know what's wrong. And you can go to the doctor and they don't know what's wrong. And it's really troubling. Or maybe you know what's wrong, but you don't know what to do. It's really troubling. I'm glad that we have a healer. I'm glad that we have a God who can help us out when nobody knows what to do. It's not hard for God. Another kind of trouble is conflict. Conflict's just part of life. And I want to clarify that because the Bible says as much as is possible, live at peace with all men. There's a lot of people in this world, and even Christians and believers in this world, they're just looking for a fight. The Bible says as much as possible, live at peace with all men. Now, the man through whom God spoke that, he had all kinds of conflict with people. I mean, they persecuted him, they stoned him, they cursed him, they beat him, they whipped him, they ran him out of town. But get this, it was all because he preached the gospel of Jesus. It wasn't some silly personal preference or something he just got upset over. No, it was because he was doing what God told him to do, to preach the gospel. And I just want you to understand that we should, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. But conflict will still happen. Sometimes you can be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing and serving the Lord. And in fact, I just got to say, if you're going to do anything for God, sooner or later, you're going to have some conflict because the devil doesn't like it. And there's always somebody that's willing to be stirred up and be stupid. So there's going to be conflict and it will trouble you. We can be troubled by doubts and fears. When the disciples first saw Jesus after the resurrection, you would think that they would just be so overjoyed and excited, right? Listen to what Luke 24, 38 says. He says, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Not all of them were overjoyed and excited. Some of them were troubled because they had doubts and fears. Oh, you get troubled when you're getting over into fear and doubt and unbelief. Greatest news in the world, he's alive. And yet they were troubled because of a lack of faith. They had these doubts in their mind. And you know what? It's the same for us. If we allow our minds to just run wild, you're going to end up with a troubled mind because your mind will go places it didn't need to go. Another word for it is called worry. We'll start worrying about all kinds of things that probably won't ever even happen. And yet we get all troubled about it and it undermines our faith. Sometimes bad news troubles you. Mark 13:7 says that we can be troubled by wars and rumors of wars. And you know what? It doesn't have to be about war. You can just all kinds of bad. It can be about the economy. It can be about the government. It can be about the coronavirus. All kinds of bad news comes your way and it can trouble you. But we don't have to be overwhelmed by that bad news. No, the scripture says this about the man that fears the Lord. It's Psalm 112, verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. See, we just got to make up our minds sometimes that when we hear bad news, we're just going to trust the Lord. We're not going to let it eat us up. We're not going to let it get all down inside of us and get all upset and all. No, that's not who we are. You know why? We fear God. Now, when you say fear God, a lot of people don't have a clue what fear God is. That doesn't mean you're scared of God. To fear the Lord means to have the utmost respect for Him. It means that you acknowledge that He is the greatest thing there ever could be. He's the Almighty. See, when you really fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anything else. There's nothing above Him. He's bigger than whatever could possibly come your way. And so the man that fears the Lord, he trusts in Him. He hears bad news. Didn't you hear? Don't you know? Trusting in the Lord. God is bigger than whatever's going on in our world. We all face times when we are troubled because of the weakness or the error or the sin of others. I remember as a youth pastor many times being troubled because a young lady was going out with the wrong guy. Some moms and dads know what I'm talking about. You've been troubled by the same thing. But we've all had those times when we were troubled because somebody else was going the wrong way, somebody else wasn't doing well. Sometimes we get troubled by false teaching. More than we realize, false teaching stirs up trouble. Here's an example in the scripture, Acts 15:24. He says, "Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Now, for us, this is pretty simple. They had some people teaching circumcision, and it's amazing. Even in our day, that tries to raise its ugly head again. I don't know how people get so messed up when the Bible is so clear about some things. But here's the point I want to make to you is that even in our time, there's plenty of false doctrine and false teaching, and it always stirs up and causes trouble. And one of the common denominators most often is that when people are teaching those things that divide and stir up trouble, it's almost always presented with this attitude that they're the only ones that have this truth. You got it. I'm the only one. You got to get it from me. Nobody else has this truth. I just want to remind you, the Bible says that it's not open to private interpretation. No, it's for all of us. And I'm just telling you, there's lots of false doctrine out there, and it stirs up trouble. It always divides, you know. How did they ever get to be so many denominations? And even within denominations, even within a local body, how do people get all divided up? A lot of the time, it has to do with doctrine. A doctrine starts dividing. It's amazing how people can divide over stuff. But here's what I want to say to you about that, is that we need to be wise about who we listen to. And especially a new believer, or I'm just going to say new believer because there's some people that have been believers a long time and still don't have much Bible knowledge. People that don't have much Bible knowledge need to be especially careful about who they listen to, because, listen, some charismatic teacher, see, you know, you don't have to worry about this with me because I ain't charismatic. I mean, I'm a charismatic, but I ain't charismatic. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not that suave and cool. But here's the thing. A lot of times it's just personality and influence that can lead people down the wrong path doctrinally. And oh, how we need to watch out for that, because I want to tell you, it can bring trouble. It can trouble you. You know, a lot of the time we're troubled just by everyday life, by the business of life. Anybody get troubled over the business of life? It's amazing to me in this day and time. It seems like so much of the time when you have business dealings with different companies and people, that you just have to be so wise and, you know, read the fine print about everything. And anybody know what I'm talking about? And you got to hold their feet to the fire about stuff, because it's amazing how people try to take advantage and charge you more than what they said they would. And I get troubled by the business of life. sometimes, but also just the busyness of life. I'm glad that you came to worship tonight. I'm glad that you had time. You say, I didn't have time, I just came anyway. That's right. That's the right attitude. But I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you came to worship tonight because you know what? We can't allow the busyness of life to keep us from having time to worship God and to seek the Lord and to draw closer to Him. It reminds me of Martha and Mary in the scripture when they had Jesus over for dinner, and Martha was trying to get everything prepared for dinner, but she got all upset and she comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, make my sister help me. And Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that identify with Martha and they want to get mad at Mary or somebody like Mary. Lord, make her help me. And Jesus does not say, yeah, Mary, get up and go help your sister. Instead, he says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. I'm owning it tonight. I get troubled by many things sometimes. I'm troubled about this and this and this and this. And it almost feels like the Lord's calling me Martha sometimes. But I know I'm troubled about many things, and I shouldn't be. I don't have to be. Jesus told Martha, he says, Mary has chosen that better part, and it will not be taken away from her. And the way you choose the better part is you make it the first part. Because when we sit at the feet of Jesus, you see, it's not that we're going to shirk our responsibilities. You know, some people, they say, are too heavenly minded for any earthly good. I've never really met anybody like that, but that's a saying anyway, nonetheless. But I suppose there are some people that, you know, in the name of faith, they sit back and do nothing and shirk their responsibilities. You know, God's going to provide for me. I don't need a job, that kind of thing. But the Lord wasn't saying that Martha shouldn't take care of her responsibilities. He was saying she shouldn't be troubled. And if we sit at the feet of Jesus first, then we can fulfill our responsibilities with peace and joy instead of having to be troubled about it. But if we do it backwards, it's just hard. I go be troubled about everything, trying to get all the, to take care of my responsibilities. You know, I'm an adult. I got to do this and I got to do, I'm responsible. I got to take care of my business. I'm responsible. And we bear that load that we didn't have to. If we just would have trusted the Lord and spent some time with Him, sitting at His feet, and then we deal with those responsibilities with peace and joy. We can be troubled by our own thoughts. Talked about worry a little bit already, but the Bible tells us about when Daniel saw a vision. And in Daniel 7:28, it said, this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me. My countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. And you know, I was thinking about this. Not many of us have great visions and, you know, necessarily have some supernatural encounter that influenced our thoughts. How much better that would be. But a lot of the time, it's the things that we see and hear on the news or in media, the things that are going on in our world, and we see this, we hear that, and our thoughts just begin to trouble us. Oh, we got to learn to get our thoughts on the Lord. He says, you'll keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. See, if we really trust the Lord, we just need to get our mind back on the Lord. You got troubling thoughts coming your way. You find yourself, your mind's getting all troubled. You know what? Just start turning your mind to the Lord. All that stuff's not too hard for God. Most of us have had the experience of being tortured by our thoughts. And I don't know what it is about getting a little older, but I wake up so early so often, and I flip and toss and turn in the bed, and my mind is going here and there and everywhere. And I'm praying, Lord, help me go back to sleep. And I'm fighting with those thoughts. But I'm just telling you, this is something that we all have to deal with at times. But we need to realize that if we can get our mind on God, we can have peace even when our thoughts have been running wild. We wake up and we got all those what ifs. And you know what's worse than what ifs? The inevitables. But with God, all things are possible. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of John about three times that Jesus was troubled. Remember, in Hebrews, it tells us that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He went through everything that we go through in one way or another. And so there were three times that he was troubled. I just want to talk about these real briefly just to see how Jesus was troubled. The first one, he was troubled by unbelief at the tomb of Lazarus. John 11:33-34, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping, one of his sisters, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Now I want you to understand, people always get this passage wrong because they think Jesus was troubled about Lazarus being dead. He was not. In fact, if you back up earlier in the chapter, you read in verse 14 and 15, Jesus said to them plainly, to the disciples, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Jesus was glad that his friend Lazarus was dead. He knew what he was going to do. There was no doubt in his mind. He knew exactly what he was going to do. In fact, the reason he told them plainly Lazarus is dead, because at first he told them he's asleep. He's going to go wake him up. And they didn't understand. They said, Lord, if he's sleeping, well, that's good. You know, if he's been sick and he's sleeping, that's good. And he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But even in those verses, he said, I'm glad for your sakes that you might believe. And so then he gets there to the tomb, or near the tomb, and he sees all the mourning and weeping and all this unbelief, and it troubled him. But he overcame. He overcame trouble by prayer. Verse 41-43 says, Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. He had already been praying. I thank you, Father, that you have heard me. He knew that his prayer was already answered, but now he's praying again so that they can believe. He says, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Here he is with all this weeping and carrying on and unbelief. And he walks up there and he prays. He says, thank you, Father. I know you always hear me. But I said this that they might believe that you sent me. And then he calls him out. I'm just telling you, Jesus was troubled in his spirit, but he overcame it by praying. He didn't allow it to overwhelm him and get the best of him. No, he overcame it. What an example he is for us. The second time he was troubled, it was by the will of God and the course that was laid out for him. John 12:28, it says, Jesus said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He was troubled because he knew what was before him. He knew what was about to happen, that this sinless Lamb of God was going to take upon himself the sins of the whole world. He was going to take upon himself all of the griefs and sorrows of the whole world. He was going to take upon himself all of the shame of the whole world. And it troubled his soul what he was about to do. You know, the Apostle Paul also was troubled by the will of God. In Acts 20 and 21, there was prophecy given that he would be bound in Jerusalem. But he said it was the will of God that he go there. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, was just giving him heads up what's going to happen. But it was the will of God for him to go there. It was the will of God that took him on a course that eventually landed him testifying, witnessing to kings, and even to Caesar's household. It was the will of God, but it wasn't an easy path. And what I'm wanting to say to you about that is that sometimes Christians today get the idea that if they run into some trouble, well, this must not be God's will. There's got to be an easier path. And sometimes we are right where we're supposed to be. You see, being in the will of God doesn't mean you're not going to have any trouble. That's just not right at all. And the truth is, you could get out of the will of God to avoid trouble, you're just going to have a whole lot more. Because trouble comes to all of us. The difference is, we can be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. And we can overcome. It's different when you're in the will of God and you face trouble. Because you're going to win. You're going to come out on the other side. Jesus came out on the other side. Amen. He rose from the dead. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, seated at the right hand of the Father. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And we all go through some trouble. Psalm 34:19, great promise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You got an adversary. And if you're trying to do the will of God in your life, he's going to be working against you. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. 2 Corinthians 7:5 says, when we were in Macedonia, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. I'm just telling you that the Apostle Paul and those that were with him, they faced all kinds of trouble. You say, well, Pastor, that's not very encouraging. Yes, it is, because we need to understand we're all going through trouble. You just need to know that you're not the first or the last, and you're not the worst. Anybody ever thought you had it harder than anybody else? Most of us have been there at some point. But our God, Psalm 46:1, is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He will always be there for us in trouble. Isn't that amazing? He's a very present help in trouble. He doesn't leave you when you get in trouble. No, you will find him right there. He is a very present help in trouble. The third time that Jesus was troubled, he was troubled in spirit because he knew that Judas was going to betray him. It's John 13:21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. He knew what was about to happen to fulfill the prophecy. But that didn't make it easy. I think it troubled Jesus that he lost one, even though it had to be to fulfill prophecy. In fact, a few chapters later in John 17, he talks about how that all of the others, they were going to make it. They were going to be sanctified. But he was troubled that this one was going to betray him. Now, we know the story, what happens here. You know, he knows about the plan of God. He knows what's going to happen. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what does he go there to do? Oh, somebody answer loud. I heard you, but what? Pray. Okay, I'm just making sure y'all read this story before. He falls to the ground and he prays and he prays and he prays. The most intense prayer, the most intense spiritual battle taking place, that the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Can you imagine the intensity of such prayer? And he prays that prayer. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Troubled. But he doesn't get up troubled. They come to the garden to take him. They bring a detachment, whatever that is, of soldiers, men with weapons. And they say, they come looking, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am." By the way, if you read in your Bible there, it says, "I am he." They just added the "he." It felt like it was implied. I think Jesus was once again saying who he was. "I am." And the Bible says this. You gotta remember, this is a detachment of soldiers. And this is one man. He steps up. "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am." And the Bible says that they all fell back. Amazing. The New King James, it says they drew back and fell to the ground. A detachment of soldiers. Here's Jesus. He has no weapon. They drew back and fell to the ground. I just want to tell you, Jesus overcame the trouble in his spirit in prayer. And whatever battles that we have, they're not bigger than the one he fought in prayer. And he is forever our example. When you're troubled, pray. You got to pray. That's where the battle's won. That's where you get rid of that trouble. That's where you get unloaded from trouble. You turn it over to God. That's where you get that victory, is in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Don't be anxious about anything. Now, the truth is that we all struggle with that at times. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you take it to God. And it's so important. I always say this. You pray until the peace comes. Listen, if you prayed and you get up and you say, "Oh, I'm still just as troubled." Well, you need to pray some more. And I always like to say this. It needs to be clarified. I know we all struggle. Been there. I know all about it personally. You see, it's not a matter of it. Us having to pray a whole lot to get God to answer our prayer. It's a matter of us sometimes needing to pray for a while to get to the place where we'll turn it over to God. Amen. But however long it takes you to get to that place where you can turn it over to God and have peace. He says, "A peace that passes understanding." That means that it doesn't make sense. Nothing may have changed on the outside when you get done praying, but yet you have a peace. A peace that passes understanding, and it'll guard your heart and mind. Now, you know what? It'll guard your heart and mind, but you're going to have all kinds of thoughts come against you. You're going to have to guard your heart and mind with that peace and say, nope, I'm not letting go of this peace. I'm not letting go of it. Other people may say things to you. Circumstances may get worse. You got to say, nope, I'm not going to let go of it. I got this peace that passes understanding. How do you get it? Prayer. Overcoming trouble. I'm telling you, it starts with prayer. Psalm 50 and 15, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Listen, every one of you is going to have some trouble. I'm going to give you just a few more verses. And I'll tell you, some of these verses, we ought to memorize these verses because we're going to need them. Nobody likes trouble. But here's the thing. It is a great opportunity to experience the power of God in your life and to glorify God. Let me read that verse again. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. What a great promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. A lot of trouble going on in this world right now. You would think people would be getting a lot more serious about prayer. It really puzzles me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Here's another great promise. Psalm 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. He's a refuge in times of trouble. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. By the way, you'll notice in that verse it says Lord in all capitals. Anytime you read in the Old Testament where it has Lord in all capitals, that means it is not the title Lord. It is Jehovah. They've just translated it as Lord, but it means Jehovah. That's why it's in all capitals. But we need to realize when trouble comes, God doesn't leave. He's right there with us to help us, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. When our back's against the wall, when we feel overwhelmed, Jesus told the disciples in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You got a troubled heart? You don't have to. Trust him. We just have to learn to trust him. All of these verses are a call to prayer. They're to turn our attention to him, to trust him. Too often, we make the mistake of looking to man or to other things. Instead, we just need to look to Jesus. Psalm 108, verse 12 says, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Wow, that's pretty blunt. Now, you know what? There's times that God will use somebody to help you. And God will use you to help somebody. But we can't get our eyes on man and start thinking that somebody is the answer. There is somebody that's the answer. His name's Jesus. But him alone, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. All right, we're going to wrap it up with this one. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence come my help? Now, there's several different ideas about what that means to lift up your eyes to the hills. But the end result is very plain and simple. He says, my help comes from the Lord. He's looking for God to show up. But I love this phrase in there. My help comes. It comes. My help is coming. My help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Mighty God. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Whenever it talks about your going out and your coming in, it's a reference to war. They were going out and coming in. He's going to preserve you. We all are fighting some battles and dealing with some things, but we got somebody who's going to help us in our time of trouble. And so I just want to encourage you, say it one more time. Either you just got done with some trouble, you're in it right now, or you're going to be heading in it. But we all deal with it all the time. We just need to know how. And I want to encourage you tonight, look to the Lord, trust the Lord, seek him in prayer. Deal with that trouble the way Jesus did. You pray and get victory. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray now. And I just encourage you, take these verses, get them down in your heart, so when the trouble comes, you're ready. You're loaded for bear. You got something to use. Amen. That you can stand on the word of God and speak those verses. Speak the word of God. Listen, I got to get this out. I've just been thinking about it all day. When Satan tempted Jesus, we all know that he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And he quoted the word of God to him each time. But I just want you to think about this. He spoke the word of God. He actually spoke it out of his mouth. He spoke it. And I'm just telling you, we need to start speaking the promises of God. When we're in trouble, when we're dealing with battles, we need to speak the word of God. When you're dealing with temptation, it's not enough to just kind of sort of, you know, something I heard some preacher say sometime maybe. No, you need to be ready to speak the word of God. So get these verses down in your heart and you believe, and therefore you speak the word of God. It's so powerful that the devil himself will run off.